Okay, let's dig into this. It sounds almost, well, ironic, doesn't it?
It really does.
A huge cybersecurity company like SentinelOne, the ones building the defenses, finding themselves right in the crosshairs.
Constantly under siege, yeah. But what's really valuable here, I think, is that SentinelOne's experience, which they've shared, it gives us this rare peek behind the curtain.
Right, into the actual playbooks of different attackers.
Exactly. Their evolving methods, what they're really after, it's not just about blocked attack.
Absolutely. And today we're diving into SentinelOne's own reports. They lay out this pretty fascinating, maybe slightly unnerving mix of threats they face.
Three main types.
Yeah. We've got North Korean operatives like pretending to be job applicants, super clever.
Then the ransomware gangs.
But not attacking SentinelOne directly, more like studying them.
Trying to bypass their products elsewhere.
And then this big Chinese state-sponsored campaign, Operation Purple Haze.
Right.
So our mission, really, for you listening, is to pull out the key lessons here.
Yeah, without getting bogged down in the super technical stuff.
Exactly. And figure out what these attacks actually mean for the bigger picture, for, everyone's security, what actions you might think about.
Think of it as a shortcut, maybe. Getting the gist without reading pages and pages of reports.
Precisely. Because what SentinelOne saw really hammers home how relentless these threats are.
And how varied. It's not just one type of attack vector anymore, even for the big players with strong defenses.
It's a constant battle, constant adaptation.
Security is definitely not a set it and forget it thing.
Okay, so let's start with that first one. The North Korean IT workers. It honestly sounds like something out of a spy flick.
It really does. Forget, tunneling in. The modern way is just sending a CV.
A resume.
Yeah. And it's a sophisticated kind of social engineering, isn't it? Doesn't it scale?
Social engineering meaning.
Basically tricking people,
Yeah.
manipulating them to get access or information. But instead of just one dodgy email, it's these fully crafted fake identities.
Professional histories, references, the whole nine yards, all aimed at getting a legit job inside tech companies.
And SentinelOne saw a lot of these. You said over 1,000 applications?
Over 1,000 fake ones, yeah. And they identified about 360 distinct fake identities.
Wow.
And get this, a lot of them were gunning for jobs on their intelligence engineering team.
Okay, that's not subtle. That team would have the keys to the kingdom, understanding threats, how SentinelOne detects things.
Exactly. It's not just about planting someone to earn a salary, right? This feels more long-term, strategic.
Oh, absolutely. It's about infiltration. Getting inside, maybe stealing sensitive data, learning about defenses from the inside.
Imagine the damage, access to threat intel, maybe even spotting vulnerabilities in the security products themselves.
Or worse, long term, maybe even slipping malicious code into software updates. That's the nightmare scenario.
It's pretty chilling when you think about it like that. So they didn't actually hire any of these individuals, SentinelOne.
No, thankfully they caught them. But they learned a lot in the process.
Which brings up a big question for everyone listening, I guess. How good are your hiring checks, especially for sensitive roles?
Can you spot these really elaborate fakes? Because clearly the attackers are getting very, very good at it.
Okay, let's pivot a bit. Ransomware groups. Usually we hear about them locking down systems, demanding Bitcoin.
Right, the usual smash and grab.
But this was different with SentinelOne. They weren't the primary target for encryption.
No, and this is a really interesting evolution in ransomware tactics. They see products like SentinelOne as a major obstacle.
So if you can't beat them, study them.
Pretty much. Instead of hitting SentinelOne directly, they're trying to take apart the defenses, figure out how the security tools actually work.
Like reverse engineering the shield.
Exactly. So they can get better at sneaking past it when they attack other companies.
And the report mentions some pretty bold methods they use. Stolen credentials, obviously, but also trying to bribe insiders.
Yeah, offering significant money. The figure mentioned was what, $20,000?
20 grand just for access. That shows how valuable this intel is to them.
It really does. And they're even setting up fake companies to try and get legitimate licenses for the security software.
Just to poke around, to test things out. It's, well, almost impressive dedication in a twisted way.
Their goal is crystal clear: to write everything they can about endpoint detection and response, EDR tools,
Why?
so they can build malware that slips right past them. It makes their real ransomware attacks on other businesses much more likely to succeed.
It's all about improving their evasion techniques.
Amplifying their effectiveness across the board, yeah.
And if they did manage to get that kind of access, say, console access. What does that mean in simple terms?
Okay, console access is like getting the admin password for the whole security system.
Oh, bad.
Very bad. They could potentially just switch off protections, change settings, basically disable the defenses from within.
And endpoint agent access. That sounds different.
That's more like getting access to the security software running on individual computers.
So they could, what, test their malware?
Exactly. Use it like a hidden lab. Test if their new virus variant gets detected, maybe even suppress alerts or mess with forensic evidence so it's harder to track them later.
Okay, so both are really serious risks, not just for SentinelOne, but for everyone those tools protect.
Absolutely. If ransomware groups figure out reliable ways to bypass major security platforms, that's a huge problem for the entire industry. We'd need to fundamentally rethink defenses.
It really drives home that security isn't just about the perimeter anymore. You have to protect the security tools themselves.
Their integrity is paramount.
Okay, threat number three. This one involves nation states, China specifically, Operation Purple Haze.
Mm-hmm. And this adds another layer of complexity.
Yeah.
The supply chain.
Right. So they weren't directly hacking SentinelOne's main systems?
No. The initial target was actually a third-party vendor, someone who handled hardware logistics for SentinelOne employees.
Like shipping laptops or something.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
It's an indirect route in. Classic supply chain attack.
A side door. And their snooping around didn't stop there.
Apparently not. The reconnaissance, the sort of information gathering, it extended from that vendor into SentinelOne's own environment.
Uh-oh.
And even looked at other organizations that SentinelOne protects.
So a much wider intelligence gathering mission, it sounds like?
That seems likely. And SentinelOne found technical links, sort of digital fingerprints, connecting this activity to multiple known Chinese APT groups.
APT.
Advanced Persistent Threat. Basically, sophisticated, well-funded hacking groups, often backed by governments.
So nation-state level stuff. Multiple groups possibly involved.
Which suggests coordination, significant resources. The goal probably wasn't just SentinelOne, but maybe understanding their security capabilities, finding weaknesses they could exploit across SentinelOne's whole customer base.
That's a scary thought, hitting the security provider to potentially get at all their clients.
It's the cascading risk of supply chain attacks.
Mm-hmm.
Compromise one link and it can affect many others down the line.
Now the report is clear, right? SentinelOne wasn't actually breached in this case.
Correct. No evidence of a direct breach of SentinelOne itself from this campaign. But
The fact that state-sponsored actors were actively targeting their supply chain, trying to get that foothold, that's the warning sign.
Absolutely. It highlights just how vulnerable these interconnected business ecosystems can be.
Mm.
We're all reliant on third parties to some extent.
And maybe we don't always think hard enough about their security.
It proves your security is only as strong as the weakest link. And that link might not even be inside your own network.
Definitely something to think about. So, okay, SentinelOne face these three major distinct threats, but they seem to have weathered the storm pretty well. No major breaches reported from these specific campaigns.
Which is the positive side of this story, right?
Mm.
They successfully defended against some very sophisticated attacks.
So what worked? What are the big lessons here for, you know, for everyone else?
Well, a few things stand out. Proactive threat intelligence was huge.
Knowing who might attack you and how before they do it.
Exactly. Identifying threats early. They also beefed up their HR screening for IT roles, specifically because of those fake applicants.
Right, closing that potential insider route.
And crucially, they were good at spotting the different behaviors of these attackers.
Mm.
North Korean job seekers act differently than ransomware gangs, who act differently than Chinese APTs.
Recognizing those patterns.
That behavioral analysis seems key. It shows that just having the tools isn't enough. You need the smarts behind them.
The intelligence, the processes to actually use the information the tools give you.
Precisely. You can collect all the data in the world, but if you don't know what you're looking for or why it matters, it's just noise.
So drawing from SentinelOne's experience, what are some of those general best practices people should be thinking about?
Well, things like real-time monitoring are crucial. Watching for anything unusual.
Uh-huh.
Using threat intelligence feeds to understand what's out there. Looking beyond just signatures with behavioral analytics, spotting weird actions, not just known bad files.
And having a plan for when things go wrong.
Definitely. A solid incident response strategy. Knowing who does what when an alert pops up. Testing that plan too.
You mentioned breach simulations earlier. Is that something smaller companies can even do?
Absolutely. Maybe not on the same scale as a giant corporation, but the principle is the same. Tabletop exercises, penetration testing. ways to test your defenses before a real attack happens.
Find the holes before the bad guys do.
Exactly. And forensic capabilities, being able to investigate if something happens to learn from it. Plus, strong endpoint security and, as we just discussed, really scrutinizing your supply chain security.
Those seem like solid takeaways, regardless of your organization's size.
They really are fundamental building blocks.
Okay, let's quickly hit some of those common questions people might have. Why would North Korea bother sending fake IT workers to a security firm? Money? Spying? Both?
Likely both. Get hard currency through wages sent back home and get invaluable insider access to data, intellectual property, defense mechanisms. It's efficient for them.
Makes sense. And the ransomware groups targeting the security products remind us why again.
Purely strategic. Learn how the defenses work so they can build better malware to evade those defenses when attacking their actual targets for ransom. It's research and development for criminals.
Studying the enemy shield. Okay. How did SentinelOne actually spot the fake job applications? That sounds tough.
It was a mix. Sophisticated analytics looking for weird patterns in the applications themselves. Timing, inconsistencies. Plus, good old-fashioned, rigorous HR screening early in the process.
Layers of defense, even in hiring.
Yep.
And Operation Purple Haze, just to recap, that was the Chinese state campaign targeting.
Targeting a supply chain vendor involved in hardware logistics for SentinelOne. Indirect access for intelligence gathering.
Got it. And the big one for many listeners, do small businesses need to worry about these kinds of advanced attacks?
Yes. Definitely. They might not face a targeted campaign from a specific APT group in the same way, but...
But
they can absolutely be targets of opportunity for ransomware, phishing, credential theft. Sometimes smaller businesses are seen as easier targets, less defended.
Or even practice grounds.
Or practice grounds, or a way into a larger partner they work with. The threats are real for everyone online.
So wrapping it up, the core message for defense seems to be...
Be proactive, not just reactive. Layer your defenses. Monitor constantly. Use intelligence. Harden your endpoints. Plan your response. And don't forget your supply chain. It's an ongoing effort.
So bringing this deep dive to a close then, it's pretty clear, right? Even the biggest, most security-focused companies like SentinelOne are constantly being tested by really sophisticated attackers.
A constant barrage from multiple angles.
But, and this is the hopeful part, their experience shows that being proactive, using good intelligence, understanding why attackers do what they do, it makes a huge difference.
It proves that strong defenses can work, even against these advanced threats. Breaches aren't inevitable if you have the right approach.
So a final thought for you listening. Think about those less obvious angles.
Yeah, like your supply chain. Who connects to your network? How secure are they?
And your hiring. Could someone slip through? It's not just about the front door anymore. The threats are evolving, and thinking about those hidden pathways is becoming, well, absolutely critical.